Yesterday I saw a notice in the news that Pope Francis has designated Monday, October 7th, as a day of prayer and fasting for peace. Why Monday, October 7th? Because it's the first anniversary of the attack of Hamas on Israel. It's also the Feast of Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary. So we pray the Rosary on Monday for peace, because the situation in Gaza and in Israel and in Lebanon and in the whole Middle East and in Ukraine seems to be getting worse and worse. So we need to use the weapons that we're given to pray for peace. And today's first Saturday, so we also pray for a prayer rosary for peace today after the Mass. I hope some of you can stay and join the rosary for peace today. Now, normally I don't make an announcement like that at the beginning of a homily. It's not about the Word of God, but it seems to be a good example of some of the principles that today's scriptures and today's saint teach us. Meaning the power of prayer and the importance of humility when we do the will of God. Let's look at today's gospel. Remember, a couple of days ago, Jesus sent out the 72 disciples to proclaim the coming of the kingdom, to heal, to drive out demons. And in today's gospel, they come back after a period of their missionary service, and they're rejoicing that even the demons are subject to them in Jesus' name. There is available to followers of Jesus extraordinary power over evil. It's true. And Jesus says, yes, it's true. Satan has been defeated. I saw him fall like lightning. And I've given you a share in my power over evil. That's what Jesus says. But then he gives a caution. Don't take joy only in having power over evil. Rejoice instead that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in the love of God more than on your power over evil. Rejoice in something positive rather than something negative. And this is an important message for us, because when we have power, we tend to take it to ourselves. We tend to think that we're important. We get self-righteous. And that reliance on power, even though at the beginning it's obvious that it's not ours, that reliance on power suddenly turns into a reliance on ourselves, which means we undercut the very source of the power in the first place. This is exactly what happens, and this is what we see happening in the world when it comes to war. Everybody knows war is insanity. Everybody knows that war is terribly destructive. Everyone knows it. But when some injustice comes along, the natural response is, I have to defeat this evil with more evil. I have to use power against power. I have to rise up stronger than the enemy who has risen up strongly against me. That's the way it seems to us. And that's what's happening right now in the escalation of the wars in the world, especially now in the Middle East. The war between Hamas and Israel has spilled over, or has aggravated the conflict between Hezbollah in Lebanon and Israel, and now Israel is basically at war with Lebanon, or with Hezbollah in Lebanon. Lebanon is a kind of, is in a weakened condition, can't do anything. It's under the control of these terrorist groups. But as soon as there's a war in Lebanon, what can Lebanon do about it? They'll appeal to powers to help them or defend them one way or another, and that draws other countries into the conflict. And as Pope Francis has said, we are spiraling into a third world war. If we keep thinking like this, if we keep thinking that the right response is always more war, more violence, more bombs, more killing. If we think that's the right response, this is what's going to happen. And And the mentality behind that is that we are the ones who will solve our problem by dominating other people. That's exactly the wrong response. And even in the world, people know this, but Christians surely should know that this is not the right response. That's why Jesus says, don't be so focused on power, on greatness, on being better, on dominating. Don't focus on that. Yes, it's true you have power over evil, but the power comes from God, and it works best when we are humble, when we are little ones. That's how the power works best, not when we get stronger. And that's why Jesus, after making this principle, rejoices. He says, I'm telling you reasons for rejoicing. Now I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I recognize the greatness of the Father in doing it this way. What he hides from the powerful, from the wise people of the world, from the learned, the clever, he has revealed to the childlike, the little ones, the humble, those who are willing to submit themselves to the power of God and not take power themselves. That's how God does it. And what Jesus is rejoicing in here is his own relationship with the Father. The Father, who is all-powerful, gives everything to his Son. He doesn't keep anything. He doesn't dominate the Son. And the Son, receiving everything from the Father, gives everything back to the Father. He doesn't keep anything for himself. There's this eternal dynamic of self-emptying, of selfless love, of sacrificial love. That's God. And when God reveals himself in the world, this is what we see. Nobody knows it, Jesus says. Nobody knows it. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one understands this basic truth of all reality. No one knows it except those to whom the Son reveals it. And this is what Jesus is doing right here. He's revealing this principle of the power of loneliness, the greatness of humility, the importance of service. This is what Jesus is teaching and also revealing in his actions. That's why the announcement about another day of prayer and fasting for peace fits this perfectly. Because from the worldly perspective, a couple dozen people kneeling down and praying a rosary doesn't seem to make any difference at all. If you want to make a difference, get more money, get stronger weapons, get more powerful computers or something, and fight. But to pray just seems like a waste of time. Seems like the excuse of weak people. But in fact, that is the channel through which divine power works. If you want to change, now we might sit here and say, well, what can we do about terrorist groups in the Middle East? What can we do? It's thousands of miles away. Seems like we can't do anything. We don't have any weapons, we don't have any money, and we're far away. Well, no. We do have a weapon, prayer, the Holy Rosary. We don't need any money because we're rich in the spiritual life, and we're not far away. As soon as we draw close to God, we're close to the very solution to the problems that we see in the news every day. This is also something of like what Job realized. Today we read the very end of the book of Job. Job, who was a rich man at the beginning of the story, very rich, great, powerful, he was reduced to nothing. He had no money left. He had no influence left. His health broke down, and he was left absolute destitute, the poorest of the poor. And he had all these complaints in his heart. Why did you do this, God? Why did you turn against me? Give some reason for doing these evils to me. That was Job's reaction. He didn't doubt God was good and powerful, but he wanted an explanation. And you know, that was the whole book of Job. Then at the very end, God reveals himself to Job. He doesn't give Job the answers he's asking for, but he reveals himself. He makes a personal connection with Job. And Job realizes, oh, I've stepped out of my place. I've gone over the line. Here I am demanding that God do things the way I think he should do them. In fact, the smarter way, the wise way, is to submit myself to God, even when I don't understand it. And this is what he says. Job is speaking to the Lord now. I've dealt with great things that I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I cannot know. Great things, wonderful things. He's been talking about suffering. He's been talking about the absolute reduction of everything he's ever had. Those are great things. Those are wonderful things. Well, yes. Now that he sees it from God's perspective, he says, these things that seem so bad to me, in God's eyes, are wonderful. I can't understand it, but it's not my place to understand it all. Job continues, I had heard of you by word of mouth, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore, I disown what I have said and repent in dust and ashes. Job is not only reduced to poverty and suffering, but now, at last, he's genuinely humble. He becomes what Jesus describes as being childlike. And because he's childlike, he can see what he couldn't see before. And he can become a channel of God's work in the world that he couldn't be before. Now, at the very end of it, at the reading, the Lord blesses Job with lots of riches again, all kinds, thousands of livestock and more children and beautiful daughters and all these things. As if to say, oh, now it's back to where he was before. No, the lesson is, where he was before was a problem. God couldn't work with him. But now that he's humble, now that he's recognizing his right place before God, now God can bestow riches on him in abundance because he's going to share them with everybody. He's going to become a channel of God, not an obstacle to God. We see this same thing in today's saint. Saint, we call her Saint Faustina, but officially Saint Maria Faustina, the simple Polish nun, very simple, uneducated, poor young woman who was given the extraordinary message of divine mercy. Why did God choose Faustina? She didn't know anything. She didn't have any degrees. She didn't have any power. She didn't have any money, no influence. She was a complete nobody. Get it? That's the kind of person God is looking for. Someone who's available. Someone who's childlike. Someone who's willing to submit to God. Someone who doesn't get in the way of his message. That's the kind of person God can work with. And that's who St. Faustina is. She's a very, very simple person. But the message given through her is extraordinary, powerful. The very message that we ourselves bring into the 21st century now and apply to the terrible conflicts in the world. God's mercy is greater than every evil. We don't have to be evil to overcome evil. We call on the mercy of God. We unite ourselves with the offering of Jesus himself on the cross. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your most beloved Son in atonement for our my sins and the sins of the whole world. We're given a place in this victory over sin. Yes, that's Faustina's message. That's the scripture's message. That's the message of every saint. It's the message of Job. It's the message of Jesus when he says, God reveals these things to the childlike, the little ones. So as we dedicate ourselves to fighting the wars in the world, fighting against evil in ourselves and in the world, we do so with this humility, this littleness, this awareness that the power doesn't come from us. It comes from God, and we welcome that power, and we allow him to work in us in his own mysterious way, in his own mysterious time, because we know that when God's will is done, then everything is in order. And when our will gets in the way, disorder enters into the world. So let us be not wise and learned in the ways of the world. Let us be childlike.